Blog Talk Radio.
Song I couldn't even stop it. It just started playing. It wasn't the song that we had queued up.
and I couldn't stop it, so, but I guess can't do nothing about it. Hope just keep on going. Yeah, I guess today is going to be Sister Sharnice Richardson. She's one of the representatives of the State of the Black Parent. All right, Sister Sharnice, you on with us?
Yes, yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. Like I said, I apologize for that. That wasn't a particular song that I wanted for the State of the Black Parents to come on, but I guess I did hear a couple of things, and that it brought something up to my attention that it was talking about. And I'd just like to, first, let me let you introduce yourself in the group. Go ahead, Sister Sharnice.
I'm Sharnice Richardson. I'm the founder of the State of the Black Parent. I'm originally from the deep south of Louisiana. Have transitioned to the north, and definitely, you know, as after the Trayvon situation, definitely with so much that's been going on, and I'm like, okay, there's a black parent organization and where we need to break up the classism within our community, because you have so much, well, you have this organization catered exactly toward the lower income, then you have another organization, it caters to the more privileged income, and so definitely, say the black parent, is about research and resourcing and advocacy, so it's definitely people, a light of legislatively taking care of our community, how it affects us, whether it affects our jobs, whether it affects us, our cousin that may be of a lower economical situation. So that's definitely the mode and the means of where City of the Black Parent is going. And we had our event in July 2014 in Harlem, and we look forward to this year having kickoff NYC 2015 approximately September.
Oh, okay. Very good. So let me ask you a question, Sharnice. I'm just going to ask you a few questions, do like a little interview with you today. I guess that song made me think of a question. Our youth are dying out here, being killed in massive numbers. So what's your thoughts as a parent and as an organizer on that situation?
You're talking about particularly of the song, of that lyrics where it says, you know, it sounds like a kind of older song, so I don't know. So the artist is saying...
Yeah, I guess it's in reference to, you know, our brothers and sisters dying out here on the streets, and, you know, we're just being up on an oppressive system. So I was just asking what you would, your thoughts on our youth being killed here in America by the police. So what's your thoughts on that as a parent?
It is extremely tragic, and I always come back when I learned about Emmett Till. I'm a person that grew up where I had to... you know, it wasn't something that was an open house. That's something I learned on my own. That was me having my own personality, and that would have me as a black sheep where I wanted to learn more about black history, but it wasn't taught, and it wasn't something welcome to me learning in the environment where I was. I was highly raised up in church. And so when I learned about, you know, Malcolm X, and I learned about Emmett Till, it took a while to learn about it, and, you know, in the area I come from, that region particularly, it's hard to find real to-the-point and layman books, you know, of interest and so forth about Emmett Till. So I would have to give bits and pieces of information about everybody, but Emmett Till always comes to mind when I think about our youth being slaughtered, our youth, our children, you know, 11 years old, whatever age they are, being slaughtered in the street for what, you know, for whatever reason, especially unjustly or just a matter of fact, you know, people that intentionally, they just have that malice in their heart to kill our people. And then they're allowed to get away with it. I always come to think about Emmett Till's mother when she says that, you know, she had a house, she had an apartment, and she had a very great job. And she had her son. And she used to say when stuff happened in the South, oh, well, that's their issue down there. That's not me. I live here, and we don't have that here. And, you know, that still come present day to day. Mike Brown is another reflection of not thinking that would ever happen to her son. Trayvon Martin's mother, you know, they never thought this could happen to their children. And so, you know, it's really time as a community to realize that we can't just see, okay, well, that's going to happen to them and think that we're immune from the vaccine, too. We all, you know, about got to get vaccinated, so we're all at risk. And, you know, it's very important that we tend to these legislation, and it's also important that we as a community in the background do what we need to do in the background. What we don't have where, because we're having problems, they have to come intervene into everything. We have to take whatever program that they have available for us.
Oh, okay, very good. So what's the so what you say the importance of groups like State of the Black Parents and other groups who reach out to parents? What's the importance of that as a as in your perspective?
It is very important because we need to have our own information. You know, there was a time that we could not read. There was a time where we could not even even gather in peace. So now, not even now, but even, you know, consider 20, 30 years ago, this, you know, it has been a time where we as a people should have stayed focused on still keeping ourselves undivided and going forth. You know, it's not no competition between each other. There's so much work to do. It's not, you know what I'm saying? We haven't even almost solved all the problems to where we need to be competitive with each other or feel that we have everything that's done or that it's only one person that could do everything. And so the importance is everybody network equally with each other, you know, whether the person is in, you know, in Canada or in, you know, whatever, you know, in the motherland, in the Caribbean, in Dallas, in Houston, wherever they are, that we're able to study together and that we're keeping up to date of improving our conditions and doing the best we can to not reverse back into slavery or back into the oppressive, well, you know, definitely continuing the oppressive means what we have even within the current decades.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Let me ask you another question. How do we as parents, what can we do as parents to give our children a fighting chance in this this world? So it's a two-part question. That's the first part. The second part is, what are we doing as parents wrong? You know, how can we help and what are we doing wrong?
Well, what we can do as parents to give our children a fighting chance is definitely they have to know their history. They have to have a network young. We can't be waiting until our children get 16 or when they get grown and they have to, you know, they're really trying to find out who's serious. They're trying to find themselves. They're trying to find a job, you know, they're trying to find, you know, they're still trying to find everything and trying to find themselves in college, and that's how they get led off to the drug life and everything of college, to where they're more into speaking proper grammar than doing proper research. So that is, you know, definitely what, you know, to answer in between both questions. They have to know their history, and they have to be able to, you know, we as parents have to be responsible, make sure that they're not waiting until they get grown or you know, yep, to get a network for a job, that they are know how to work together, that they know how to do projects and start a business together without being competitive. And that's definitely, as parents, what we have to work on as a whole in the community, that our children can't go out there amongst anybody else and really have a fighting chance if they can't get along with each other.
Right, and that's very good. So what I believe in that, you know, the child development starts at home. If you don't teach a child from the beginning and at home, then you can expect your child, you know, some of the scriptures, you know, for the ones who go by scriptures, say, train a child in the way it should go and it won't depart. So that's one of our key elements. We have to reach out to our children while they actually babies in the womb. So there's no other way to say that. Just have to start training your child at an early age and teaching it, you know, to be responsible. Okay, I agree with that, Sister Shanice. Okay, so when it comes to parents, having two parents in a home, what would you say, why would that be very important for a child? You know, most of our families, me, myself, growing up with a single parent, we're missing some. So what would be your perspective on that? What are we missing when there's a single parent in the home compared to a two parent?
Being that I'm in that controversy in my own self, you know, as part of founding the State of Black Parents, it would be great that you know, definitely the male can be in the home, but we have other factors that affect it on why the male isn't in the home, and we can't exactly blame it on exactly, okay, well, that's the, you know, because of the dominance of society, exactly. It starts, we need to raise our children, as one of our media correspondents in New York have stated. We need to raise our children to be responsible adults, no matter what age they become. Parents, that they are responsible adults with each other. So it doesn't matter if the father's not exactly in the home, he's still actively he's actively involved, and that the house is not extremely, what you say, withered. It's not at a withered angle because the you know, finance is not being provided in the home. There's not assistance with child care. There's not assistance to help them with a good fraction of the stuff in the home. We could just start out focusing with that part, that, okay, if you're not going to stay in the house, you, whether there's another family that has to be taken care of, or whether the person may have a mental illness, or whether the person, due to, they can't live in the home due to whatever reasons. It's like, okay, well, go, there are plenty opportunities, shift work. If you don't have child care as a problem, take the time out and get your network to go get a, get your network where y'all going to help each other work for, work on events, get whatever funds you can to help provide into the home. Be available to help properly with child care. Go to parenting classes, take the children to activities, such as the, educational fairs, the cultural fairs, the community hall events. And so that's key, what the family must do, instead of, because somebody could be in the house, but if their morals and their responsibility is not together, it really is still another vain point for him to even be in the home.
Right. All right. That's very good. So, I know you also do a radio program with the Brother Maurice Muhammad. You still do that program. You want to get that number out and...
Yes, it comes on Mondays at 6 p.m. East Coast time. Those that are on the New York, on the Atlantic time zone, and it comes on at 5 p.m. Central time. So if people getting off from work, they can have their cell phones plugged into their speakers to listen to it tomorrow. The number is 661-554-9123. So we'll definitely be speaking tomorrow about the music industry, the reality TV, reality and scripted shows such as Umpire, R&B Divas, and the Whitney Houston biopic.
Oh, okay. You had mentioned child support. I know this is one of the things that I've heard y'all talk about on the program a lot. So what would you say to the dads or moms who not supporting their children, and, it's a single parent growing up and struggling, and they're not getting the money that they justly do to help raise that child? So what would you say on that, Sister Shami?
Yes, we have done a lot of shows with that, and I do have the video on the YouTube channel, SOTBP Conference. What I would have to say on that is, very much they have to understand the situation. They're in the defense that a lot of them give is, well, she can apply for food stamps and welfare. I was like, well, you ought to have the pride enough to not want your child to be on their rolls. Because when they sign that paper, you're not signing it. They're signing it. That single mother is signing that paper. There's ways, my focus, I have an address. I've been, speaking about it for 3 years, definitely, of how to prevent being on child support. They have where you can have people come up to the hospital and do the DNA test. Definitely, in 9 months, a man, he don't have child care, whatever. He can work two jobs at the factory, so forth. Live on a budget and get what the child needs. Get a network of people that's going to help you, manage your funds so that you can be efficiently providing what the child needs, along with also helping the mother. If she wants to start a business, don't get there and try, do everything. Keep the focus on that. Help her get her, even if it's a part-time job, part-time business, making sure that the child has proper child care. Child care is very expensive. And, you don't want where your child is just being left with whoever the sun shines with. And so those are the priority focus, that when you put your child up in that government system, she no longer has the right to really respect you, especially if your name not on that line with her, because if you have to go through that paperwork with her, trust me, it will wake a lot of men up. A lot of men need to you know, this is, they need definitely men groups wherever it is across the country. Bring them. As a matter of fact, I have one that's 20 plus pages, and I'm sure when a man actually sees that application form and see what you actually have to fill out and how the interview goes and the responses, I'm sure that would awake a lot of our men up from even wanting their children's mother going through that system at any means possible. Now, if they're incarcerated or if they're incapacitated due to an accident, you know, that's very much another story at hand. And I would encourage definitely those, you know, young, when they're 18 years old, before they become a family, invest up in disability insurance. Invest up in that, you know, definitely we need a network, a program assistance to say, okay, well, this is the disability insurance, the best benefits, and to definitely when something happens, such as someone gets shot in the back or they have an injury on a job, all kind of accidents happen to people, that they still aren't hurt financially as hard. And you understand that sometimes you have to take a seat back and remanage your finances.
Right. So very good. That's a very good point. You know, that this information we're giving out right now is on the state of the black parent is because for many of us are the parents, many of us are going to become parents. And so this information might help someone in the future and help someone who's going through something right now. But that's why we're doing this program. You know, we're all about educating our brothers and sisters and doing a lot of prevention, you know, becoming reactive. We do proactive work, so that's what we're doing today. We're out here trying to be proactive and teach our youth and the brothers and sisters who might be going through a struggle. So let me ask you another question. How can we strengthen our relationships? So this question, you know, if you had to talk to somebody that was planning on being in a relationship, how could they strengthen a relationship to help them and their other spouse to stay together? What type of things should they be looking for to, you know, say, okay, I'm going to get with this guy? You know, because we got a lot of people get with brothers and sisters, but it's out of lust or something else. So what would you say to that, Shanice? What can a female or a male look for to help them say, okay, this is my person that I'm going to stay with? What's your perspective on
it? Oh, being young, my own self, we have to have a steady culture and morals by ourselves. Sometimes we get so much caught up into the now moment and having fun so that we don't understand the catastrophe that we really could face later on down the line. You know, it's a lot of things, you know, that you want to definitely avoid, you know, such as being in a domestic violence situation, such as being in a situation where one person's pulling the weight, but the equal weight is not about being pulled even. Where, you know, definitely people's morals are not evenly aligned, or they're not working to improve their moral standards in life. That's the main thing I'm gonna say is morals. Morals come down to everything. I mean, it doesn't matter what else you can have, the hottest fashion, you can have all the money in the world, and it's, you know, part of what I'm going to speak on tomorrow. You can have all the money in the world, you can have all the fashion, but if you don't have morals, you don't have principles, you don't have the basis to work out the universal math in the world, you're going to have to where when you get into a disaster, you're not going to even have an idea of how to come out of it, or you're going to be in total denial of it.
Right, okay, very good. So what would be your advice to a young teenager who would thinking about becoming sexually active, what kind of advice could you give her before she gets into that lifestyle?
Oh, wow, I was just asked this question last season, apparently, actually this year. I would tell anybody, I feel so much that children are taught the fairy tales and the cartoons of life that it leads them dense, and then someone in the street is able to show them a more reality with, you know, the cartoons and the parent and the church is not able to show them, that when the street come along, I was like, yeah, you really showing me this, yeah. And, like, they really could see it more closer than with the cartoons and what the good parents telling them and so forth like that. I would tell anybody, always, that they should be taught the morals and proper reality, of it young, before they become, definitely before school, because now they're having these controversial courses. They're going to have it as subjects, but you can't talk about Black history unless it's edited in the schools. So definitely, when your child is becoming a young teenager or adolescent, they need to be introduced first. Let's start off, introduce them to a book about STDs. I believe that's what definitely had me slow my roll down, had me, you know, I more was into the curious, the gossipy section. That's what I was into. I wasn't hot. You know, I maybe was a little curious, but, you know, I was like, you know, I was like, okay, I got to have my limits. And I didn't want to be in the environment where I come from. I didn't want to bring a child in because I felt I wasn't proper. You know, I wasn't being the best taken care of, and there was so much missing. So why would I want to bring a child there to be in that situation also? So I would definitely recommend any parents, definitely, you know, you can't trust anybody. Everybody looks in fashion or whatever like that. And they definitely need to learn that every STD cannot be treated. There are permanent STDs in life. If they're taught that first and then can be told about the beauty of it, I believe the math would definitely pan out to where we have more responsible, more responsible in our community.
All right, very good. Shanice, I got, let me see, another question for you. You said something about domestic violence. So is domestic violence in your perspective out of control in the Black community or in the community?
It's out of control in multiple communities, but definitely my focus is on the Black community because that's what I am, that's what I'm in, and that's what we need to improve first because we're at the most disenfranchised. And every time that we have a problem, it's like, it's worth, you know, it's worth a 10 to 20 more points than if it's happening in the Caucasian community, and that's why my focus is on the Black community, even though, yeah, it's about the same, or it could be a little less, or whatever like that, but we are more impacted for the fact that when we, you know, we have those issues, we more so have to go to them for their assistance so far as getting housing or whatever aid or whatever caused us to be at disadvantage due to being in a domestic violence situation.
Oh, okay, we have a caller calling in. Let's go to the caller lines. Let's see. All right, caller, you're on with us? Make sure, just a second, might not be open yet. Just a second, caller. Okay, you are with us, caller? I'm not hearing anything. Try that again, caller. The line is open. Okay, we're not getting nothing on that caller right now. At the moment, can't hear nothing. We'll come back to you. Okay, let me play a song and see what's happening on the switchboard. We're going to make sure we're playing the right songs for the right show. We'll be right back with you and get Sister Shanice a chance to get some water. Some we'll be right back with you, call also.
Shall break every chain. Oh,
All right, y'all, we back. We back on with Sister Sharnice Richardson, the founder of State of the Black Parent. We also got a caller calling in. Let me see if I can open that caller line again. The caller, you on with us?
Peace and greetings, everyone. I just want to say I'm enjoying the show and keep giving out good information.
Thank you.
Appreciate you calling in. Appreciate you calling in. Keep listening. Yeah. Appreciate you.
All right, you're welcome. Yeah, have a blessed day.
All right.
You too.
All right. So back on with Sister Sharnice. Pretty good information getting out. I'm looking forward to listening to the archives so I can really concentrate on the, you know, sometimes you're doing a program, you don't get to get the good feeling of it, but I'm getting a good vibe from the program, and, you know, a lot of good information you're giving out. So you ready to go back into round two of these questions?
Oh, yes.
Okay, let's see where I'm at. Let's see. When it comes to, you know, a lot of brothers and sisters, you know, we learn as we go, but what's your goal when you come down to breastfeeding? How does that play a significant role in raising our child?
Well, I am a high-risk mother. You know, that all comes into factor. You know, everything comes into factor. So many things of how, you know, saying, okay, well, we need to stay as a Black parent and definitely to come across the diversity. The formula is not healthy, but then when you come to the economic challenge and those with compromised immune systems or health conditions, you know, there is organic alternatives that need to be available, whether we have that pantry in our community or we get the advocacy through WIC. For it, but I'm definitely for those that are in good, that are low risk and have good health conditions for them, breastfeeding and having the support available for them.
Oh, okay, all right. So you and we, so we're on that same subject, we talk about food. We know the foods that we getting. I think what the problem is, it's going to be a two-stem problem. We have food that's bad for us, but the food that we can afford is almost be like the food that's bad for us. So what's your perspective on food, you know, just in general that our children eat? What's your thoughts on that?
Definitely, you have to consider, you know, health insurance is expensive. No matter what they said about the ACA, Obamacare, I knew when it came out and they said it was 900 pages, you know, good and well, we not about to get there and read 900 pages, page by page, and have a community meeting, discuss page by page. I mean, we just have so much stuff going on in our lives. I knew then it wasn't good. It was like, okay, why can't you just edit the Medicaid program that we have or whatever service program we have now and just make it to where it's just common sense serves the needs of the human. And so that's why it's definitely critical that we take that sacrifice and put more of our focus on investing in our health, growing gardens, participating in food co-ops. That's definitely key. You know, there's farmers markets, supporting our local farmers. I remember a time, and I don't even know if they have this here anymore, where you had the our farmers used to go around, or they had their, you know, had the watermelon, and they had the apples and the bananas, and I haven't seen it. Oh, I know for sure. I know it slowed down when I became a teenager. It slowed down a lot. You had the person going around selling potatoes and so forth. I did. We need it back. We need it back. But I know one of the things, you got, you know, in order to sell it at an affordable rate, but you gotta consider, well, if you can have somebody come to your house, you know, have the bananas, the potatoes, all that kind of stuff, and you don't have to actually, I mean, you spend money at the convenience store. So you have to say, okay, well, this person come around, give us an idea when you may be coming or that time frame, and somebody will be home to definitely make sure, you know, to be there to support you. And that's the sacrifices that we have to make and invest in our community. Toward not having the GMO foods and the vaccines, that's just a backup to the GMOs. We definitely have to get there and, you know, invest in toward eating more healthy and, you know, do whatever sacrifice possible to make sure you eat healthy if you can't do nothing else. But there is a a store that is economically affordable, where you can eat a good amount of food. You know, for right now, you know, Trader Joe's is an option it has, where you have the option of conventional and organic food that is an affordable rate, and maybe about maybe a $2 or $3 difference from what you may pay at. But it's still cheaper than a convenience store.
All right, very good. Okay, so when it comes down to diseases, we know HIV is getting out of control with our youth. So how can we reach out and save our youth from becoming ill and passing on this disease? What can we say to our youth as a parent when it comes down to sexual diseases?
You know, as I said, you know, that goes back to the question, the few questions back that you asked me. We have to teach our children about STDs, you know. When they're in elementary school, we have to teach them before the streets teach them. You know, there's a song by a popular duo that has been a great motivation to me growing up. And they have the words in their song that say, you know, teaching when they go to school, learning the ways of deception on the playground. And that's exactly when you put them out into their public school, you put them out into their community, and if the community don't, majority of them don't have the same values and morals, then, you know, your children are going to be vulnerable. They're going to be in compromised situations. I mean, there are so many ways that people contract stuff, you know, and it even includes the blood transfusion and so forth like that. And one thing I would have to definitely say to the church and to work on that end is that there are religions such as Muslims and Jews and Catholics. They have a plan of care, but the Christian community is totally whatever that doctor feels like doing, or we're not aware of it, one or the other.
Oh, okay. Very good. So we talked about education. So what's the importance of homeschooling? You know, a lot of people only know about homeschooling, a lot of you know, so what would you tell a parent who was thinking about homeschooling compared to private school or public school? What's your thoughts on that?
You know, there are independent private schools that you definitely have to check out detail what they're about, because you may see something as a private school, but they may not value something about you that you may think that you may think they love everybody, and they'll tell you that because legally they have to tell you that, or they just want your money, one or the other. So you definitely have to, that's something extra. You have to be with like-minded people. And you know, there are sociopaths and conniving, deceptive people. So you got all of that to deal with. The two-parent household, that's something that's great family time, great family planning. But, you know, when it comes to the two-parent household or a tight-knit family, whether it's just a big village family, like you have 3 to 6 generations of family, they're all close and in contact with each other. I mean, that's a perfect opportunity for them. It's like no excuse, you know, for them not to get started on their homeschooling, because they already got a backup advocacy saying, no, this is what we're going to do. And, you know, they got the room there. But for still that single parent, you know, the advice is always have to be extra different, because she may have to work 2 and 3 jobs because she determined that she don't want any financial aid, you know. So it's whatever babysitter that can watch her child, or they may have an elderly parent that watch their child unlimited amount of time, or somebody that they don't have the funds and they may not have that educational strength or whatever compromise to actually do the homeschooling or pay someone for the homeschooling. This is where it comes to our community networking and being able to provide for each other. And, you know, that's the key, gonna go get back to the networking of our community between that family and that single parent, and definitely coming together and knowing the, you know, still the morals and exactly what our children need to learn as a unit. But it's definitely critical in our community.
All right. Yeah, very good. So, you know, another thing, Sister Shanice, we witnessing a rise in drug usage with our youth. And I know a lot of this is going to go back to you know, morals and stuff like that. But why do you think, you know, you think it's a conspiracy to get our youth hooked on drugs? What's going on with the rise in drugs? I mean, our children are trying all types of things that, you know, you someone I have never heard of. They're doing things that seems like it's, you know, that's, you know, when it comes down to common sense that you wouldn't even try. But what you think going on with this drug craze with our youth?
Well, actually, I've read a lot of books, and there's so many more books I want to read. So there's a lot of things that a lot of people may not have heard of that I'm aware of, or I'm still trying to figure and piece the puzzle about it. It is definitely a conspiracy for our youth, especially with them placing the Common Core, because before Common Core and something that I've, you know, that actually woke me up when I was 8 years old and, you know, things that I had to directly come at me head on. And I said, well, Common Core has just been out. It just came out. It has been out. It's just coming out of the closet. The term before that was social development, when they were teaching about, you know, the social development where they want to put you in special ed because of the way that you hold your pencil or the way that you may not move in a certain direction or things that they consider as a manipulation to someone that's detailed or independent or that don't follow trends. And that's basically, you know, Common Core has came out of the closet. And, you know, like they had, you know, growing up in a country town, I can't say rural, I have to say country, maybe a notch up from rural, you know, they had the conspiracy of who they had up in special ed, because I was like, well, how do you have me up in a class with people that have failed 2 and 3 times, and here it is, I have a 2.7 the first 9 weeks, and then every 9 weeks after that, I have honor roll. So you don't have a teacher that could evenly teach us on the same path. And we're not, you know what I'm saying, it just was, you know, that's when I knew the conspiracy was against us. The, you know, I couldn't exactly put the exact words out together, you know, going from third, fourth, from each grade, and knowing what teachers and getting told little phrases and, you know, little stuff I had ideas of and nobody was interested of it. It took to put all that together and knowing that Common Core has been out the closet. So that is because, you know, it has came out of the closet. Because before that it was social development. Well, you know your child needs to have social skills. So now Common Core has came out of the closet and now this ball has been thrown at us. And a lot of people still don't understand what Common Core, and they're very, okay, they're like whatever to it. Like they're very in la-la good boots about it. And definitely everybody needs, you know, you have grandchildren, nieces, you definitely, these maybe have to be your nurse aides, and you don't want them being your nurse aides when you're an older age. You know what I mean? Unless you plan on not living past 40, that's the only way I see you not caring.
All right, very good, Sister Shanice. So another question, you know, in this country over here, they talk about marriage, and you see a lot of stuff on the news, and with marriage, you see these stars, they in them. I mean, they jump in and out of relationships with each other. So based on your thoughts with the marriage culture, do you think the culture over here is based on love or lust? What is it, in your opinion?
Oh, that's very difficult. I mean, a lot of times you follow exactly what you have from your family. And so then you start attracting and you get a repeat and you fall in love with somebody that treats you just like from the family environment you come from. And it's not until you're in that situation and you're like, okay, well, I forgave or I keep forgiving. A lot of times we keep forgiving stuff that we just need to accept as what it is. And then a lot of times people want to live intentionally towards the poverty decisions because it's a style or because such and such may have had a good turnout making poverty decisions, and then another person thinks that's, you know, that's their motivation.
Okay, I got you. So I got a good question for you. This one here would be interesting. Right now we're witnessing a rise with the homosexual agenda. Do you think it's a homosexual agenda? You know, I know I look at the news, I look at the TV commercials, cartoons, animation, and a lot of homosexual in the windows. So what's your thoughts on that?
Oh, I have a long That's a very deceptive lifestyle, and there are a lot of people, they in our community, they will harm, they'll be in for the black, but all along their undertone is really for us to have more homosexual freedom than caring about blacks having their rights. And which, you know, that's going to, you know, show you there that they're not going to be nothing but privileged slave catchers for the full when times the Holocaust come again. You know, Nellie Fuller has every video on it. There's a book that may be out of print, or maybe you can't exactly get it in this country, quotation per se. It's a book called When the Ball Drops, How Gays Will Take Over the World. And I was watching, you know, anybody knows that has been in the industry, anybody that has been out in the streets and they're at reality about it, everyone knows that the homosexual, pedophile, and incest world all go hand in hand. Some people just more deceptive or conniving by it than the other. And then, you know, it's not saying that every homosexual is a pedophile, but enough of them is to know that that's all connected in one community.
All right, very good. You know, that's what we do. We give out some hard questions, hard facts, you know, trying to educate our brothers and sisters. Some of the stuff you hear, you won't hear nowhere else, because we bring it like it is and tell it like it is and not like it was on this radio program. But we definitely appreciate Sister Shanice giving the truth and, you know, just straight truth and how she feels about the situation. So that's why we on today. So, Sister Shanice, how can a person join up with the State of the Black Parent?
They can get there and contact me at area code 225-395-1792. We do have black business sponsorship opportunities if they're interested in visiting or being in the New York area. They live in the New York area, have family there, you know, friends. You know, everybody knows somebody across somewhere. You know, they're black parents, and they're definitely interested in, you know, knowing the latest updates. We have our topics on the Pinterest board. That's going to be the focus for kickoff NYC 2015. It's a topic in education, a topic in economics, and a topic in enterprise. So if they're interested in being on the panel or interested definitely in being an attendant of the event, they can definitely contact that number. They can follow us and engage with the hashtag from the various social media. We even, one of our media correspondents in New York has the Instagram page going, hashtag StateBP, hashtag BPNow. They can follow us, engage with us there on Twitter, Google+, and Pinterest.
Oh, okay, very good. So to make a donation, if someone make a donation to your calls, how would they go about doing that the same way? Do you have a PayPal or account? Same way? Go ahead.
Yes, we do have a PayPal. It's State of the Black Parents. That's one word. StateOfTheBlackParents @gmail.com, and do label it exactly for what reason that you, you know, what you're giving the funds for.
So, okay, very good. So is there any information you want to bring out? I bring out, you know, thought of, you have any information you want to bring out?
Oh, gosh, there's a surplus I could talk about. You know, it's very much a surplus. You know, I'll discuss our education topic. Our education topic is how do we fund our children's education. So definitely, that includes child care, because, you know, that, you know, every second of their life is them being educated, no matter what environment they're in. So it's their child care, their learning centers, public, private school, community college, trade school, you know, so forth of what we consider of how do we fund our children's education, you know. So it includes a wide range. And then it's also going to include, possibly include discussing parents that are getting arrested for homeschooling their children. So that would also be discussed under that head. And then the next thing is economics. So we want to start from the basics, the bottom, and just focus on these three topics for this year here, and then from there, we work on everything else. And it's something that as a community across the world, in the motherland, and in the Caribbean, that we have to work together. And so our topic in economics is how do we help each other? How do each economic class help each other? You know, and this goes back to breaking down that, you know, we know what happened to the show Sorority Sisters. You know, you see, well, okay, everybody was hard up about Sorority Sisters, but was it more about the elite protecting their class? But the Love and Hip Hop is like, okay, it's all right for them to be on there. And then enterprises, how does small business eliminate unemployment? We need, you know, I mean, these applications are ridiculous, like, you know, applying for the social service office, you know, and then they already get your DNA, you know, everything about you. They want your credit report at the job. They want to know who is the head of your food stamp account. And it just go on and on and on. You know, they get these interviews asking you, what do you think of the color blue, or what do you think of when it comes to a tiger and so forth like that. And so it's like if we had more of our own companies, and it could just be more focused on getting the work, getting the production done that's as needed, and motivating our people to be involved in independent affiliate work. You know, instead of the Black Parent does support someone that's an independent affiliate, if they work for Avon or Mary Kay, I mean, it's not the best solution. But, you know, if that stops them from having they're successful and not filling out a job application, and they can focus on their sales and offer people that's what they want and get their income living off of that's what we're supporting for the conditions that we're in and the options at hand than having to go fill out a job application. There you got your Social Security number all over the place. People, you know, I've even had stories where I've ran into people that said they've gotten arrested and they don't know who took their Social Security number because their family jobs. So it's no limit to the people that had their Social Security numbers.
All right. All right, very good, Sister Shanice. So what would be the long-term and short-term goals of the State of the Black Parent?
The short-term goals is right now to work on improving our community. The long-term goals is definitely make sure that we don't lose focus, and then we can go from there. That's the long-term goal. You know, we can't exactly say exactly what we're going to have because you know how, you know, you say what you're going to exactly have and people coming in that come, you know, ramage it up intentionally. So our focus is to make sure that we stay focused, you know, working on our short-term goals right now.
Okay, so definitely keep us informed, you know, if you have something going on, you know how to contact me. That way I can do all I can do to help. Publicize it and share it on the social media. So, you know, we definitely help support the cause of the State of the Black Parent because we all, well, I didn't say this. Yeah, it is State of the Black Parent. That's what we're talking about because we do need to aid each other in this endeavor because our children right now I consider in last place, but we will be back first again. And it starts with programs like this. It starts with teaching and educating your child in the home. Proper foods, proper diet, everything that you can do, proper mindsets, morals, as Sister Shanice said. So, you know, we're in a race to get back on our throne, and it looked like we lined up real good with brothers and sisters like Shanice and Brother Maurice Muhammad, Legacy of the Nations. Also, she's on Monday nights. I believe she said 5 p.m. Eastern. Is that correct? On Legacy of the Nations.
5 p.m. Central.
5 p.m. Central. Okay, so do you have that phone number for that radio station for someone who's just listening and maybe not on a computer but just listening by phone? Do you have the phone number off for the latest information?
The number to call on Mondays, 661-554-9123.
All
and
right.
They also can go on to Blog Talk Radio and when they press the follow on State of Black Parent, and send them a notice every time that State of Black Parent has a show.
All right. So very good. So, Sister Shanice, we appreciate you taking out time to join us and educate us and enlighten the public. You know, we need, like I said, we need more sisters and brothers to, you know, speak out on the issue of the parent and our children. And when we get that done, we'll be, like I said, back in the race to get back on our throne. So we appreciate you taking your time out, Sister Shanice, and so we say thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. You have anything else before I play this closing song?
I'm definitely looking forward, you know, to definitely those that are in the New York City area, those that can have the means, and those that, you know, if you have a black business, definitely reach out to this radio station, you know, and or my, you know, and myself, reach out to both of us, whoever you get in touch with, and definitely let's get that information going. You know, definitely looking for, you know, deodorant, toothpaste, the main things that we use. And definitely, you know, independent affiliate opportunities, definitely open.
All right, very good. All right, once again, we say we appreciate it, and we're going to close out with the conquering line because we got to conquer this situation with our children and being a parent. All right, thank you again, Shanice.
You're welcome.
Shall break every chain. The conquering lion shall break every chain. Give him the victory again and again. Hey, he's gonna break all of those chains if you just let him.